Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And once again, give me chart number 9, please. As I said, he has taken one verse and tried to turn the entire teaching of the New Testament upside down with it. Every time it comes around to talking about a meal of any kind, food of any kind, having an assembly of any kind, where brethren do anything social together, he's got to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 22 and try to condemn it. I just want you to notice what he's doing. The context, the entire book of 1 Corinthians is dealing with the problem of unity and causing things to cause disunity were the very things Paul was correcting all the way through the book. Why do you think then 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says something about a woman? Asking at home, what woman? Any woman? Every woman? Why, absolutely not. That statement is in the context of God prophesying in a miraculous fashion, and in that context, somebody, some man who was prophesying in that assembly, was not to be interrupted by a woman, maybe his wife. So the whole idea was, she would not have the authority to be saying what that man is saying by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, in that context, at that time, she would be forbidden to speak. Otherwise, if it wasn't limited to that context, then no woman could sing today. I'm not waiting for an amen, I'm just letting the pause go by. But the entire book is dealing with this one problem, in the midst of which you have 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul is telling them, this is how your practice is causing division to be maintained in the body of Christ. So when they came together, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17, it was not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. Why? Because when we meet around the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16, it is a common union. It is a communion. And yet, when they brought their food, and by the way, has anybody, I'm not asking for a show of hands, anybody here heard of dinner on the ground? Anybody heard of bringing your food and leaving it there so that after the worship, then you have your meal? Why, that's done for centuries before we had cars to meet everybody down to McDonald's with. And so the whole idea of these brethren was they were traveling far. It was a hard time to go. And so they took their food with them when they went to break bread. And when they met together to break bread, then they had this other food to eat. And what Paul's saying is, if when you eat this other food, you can't wait for all the brethren and share what you have, then eat that at home. He says that twice. And then emphasizes it again in verse 34 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He is not forbidding eating in the same place where they assemble to study the Word of God. If that verse is condemning that practice, then you have a man who has taken a verse and condemned the practice of Jesus Christ. Now he comes along with a Baptist quibble in Matthew chapter 14. I'm really expecting better of you, Brother Donahue. I cannot believe that a man has debated this point so many times and gone over so much of this that he would dare to make the argument that the church had not been built in Matthew 16 and therefore the church can't give authority for eating like Jesus did in Matthew 14. I'm sorry. Time out. Let's look at this. When can the church of Christ not do what Jesus did? The only miracle that's recorded in all four accounts of Jesus' life is one where Jesus, after he had done spiritual teaching, Luke chapter 9 verse 11, after Jesus had taught them spiritually about the things of the kingdom, then Jesus challenged his disciples to use their treasury money to go buy food for them so that they could eat. And that established the point that they did not have enough, and therefore it took a miracle on this occasion. We don't have the miracle, but we are disciples who have the treasury. How can any man condemn what Jesus did? I'm asking you the question.
I would 10,000 times 10,000 rather be a soldier who pierced Jesus' side with a spear than to divide the body of Christ over something like that. The very idea that the church wasn't established in Mark or in Matthew 16 when Jesus did something in Matthew 14. Have you not heard of Jesus teaching about the kingdom and the church before it was ever established? I'd expect that of a denominational man to try to rule out what Jesus said. Did you know the church was not established when Jesus made the statement in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved? The church was established on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The very nerve of someone who would get up and proclaim that we cannot do what Jesus did as His body just because the church had not been established in Matthew 14. Well, baptism comes along and was taught by Jesus before the church was established in Mark 16:16. What about that, Brother Donahue? And I don't know about you, but I've been a member of the Lord's church 53 years. I have not yet once seen anybody eat regular food in an assembly designed for offering sacrifice to God. When we come together, there are five things we do for worship. And those five things are clearly identified in the Scriptures that talk about what the church is supposed to do. And those five things must be done. And when the disciples met together to break bread, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, then they were meeting for the purpose of offering those sacrifices before God. But the coming together is a social event. You cannot come together without it being a social event. An event where we are gathering with each other. In fact, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, let us provoke one another to love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Look at the social work of worship. And then he wants to come along and say like those disciples did in Jesus' day, send them away. Let them go home and eat a meal. No. What the Bible is telling us is, by Jesus' example, we can bring food to the same place, but not at the same time. We have our acts of worship, and then we are perfectly free to have our fellowship together extended in a social way. If you can buy the bread for the Lord's Supper out of the treasury, you can take the money out of the treasury for a meal. If not, why not? By the way, give me the verses for a church treasury. He's got all these rules of what the church treasury is all about. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And it's always I say, I'm opposed, I don't like, I don't think. And I can't find where the Bible specifies everything the church treasury is for. We take up collection on the first day of the week, no question about it. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Absolutely, on the first day of the week, we meet together and we take the contribution. Now, what can it be spent for? He gives three things. He says it can be spent for three things. Would you please give me chart number 20, please? Brother Homer Haley, who is probably one of the best Bible scholars in the Brotherhood, made this statement. He said, in all that's said in the epistles about contributions and gathering of funds, not one word of instruction is given for the gathering of funds for evangelistic work. The instructions involve money gathered for benevolent purposes. Brother Donnie, you still keeps up, oh, it's got to be used for evangelism. It's got to be used for benevolence. Poor saints. He's got it all cut and dried. And you've got men like Homer Haley, they study the same Scriptures. And Brother Haley did not come to that conclusion. And there are plenty of others who have not gotten it down to that. For what can it be used? Let me ask you a question. What is the Lord's contribution used for? If we are facilitating our worship, padding the pews, nailing down the benches, how much of this do we not even think about because it is something that is germane to our coming together? And so when we follow the example of Jesus Christ, we are simply coming together. Give me chart number 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, we are to follow Jesus' example. Here Jesus fed the assembly He had taught in the place where He had taught them. Here, the Church of Christ on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 preached Jesus. The apostles did, Acts 2, verses 13 to 41. Then when they obeyed the gospel and the church was established, they then had the treasury set up, Acts 2, verses 43 to 45. Then they used this opportunity of Acts 2, 46 and Acts 5, 42 to eat at the same places where they were preaching. The exact same Greek phrases are used in both of those verses. And he wants to come along and divide the verse and say, well, they preached in the temple and they went from house to house to eat their meals. I'm sorry. Acts 5:42 uses the same phrase and talks about that's what they did. So I guess that means they could only preach the gospel from house to house, but not in the temple. If you're going to split one verse, you have to split the other. They're not mutually exclusive. Because brethren had the practice of eating a meal together in fellowship where they met for worship. Acts chapter 20 is an illustration of this. The church in Troas, they met on the first day of the week in Acts 20 verse 7. To break bread, that's the Lord's Supper. Then, when the treasury had been set up by the command of Paul, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, on the first day of the week, let everyone lay by him in store. And when the Eutychus fell out and was healed, then in Acts 20, verse 11, Paul went back up after midnight and he ate. And because he's eating by himself, it doesn't mention the brethren were eating with him on that particular moment. You're not talking about the Lord's Supper here. The term that's used in Acts chapter 20, verse 11 is not a term that is used for the Lord's Supper. He ate a meal. What can facilitate our fellowship? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, when a man was withdrawn from spiritually, then Paul says, with such a one, know not to eat. How else do you know that that man is going to feel the force of the church not going along with what he's done unless he is not allowed to just sit down at a common meal? That's not talking about the Lord's Supper. In fact, when I asked Brother Donahue the question tonight, he answered 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, and said it's a common meal. It's exactly what's being discussed. And then he wants to say, oh, but now that was at home. Where in that verse does it say they went home? 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, Paul is talking to the church. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 13, Paul is talking about the church. And they must withdraw, pull back, put that man from among you. And then he says, with such a one, know not to eat. Where does Paul tell him in 1 Corinthians 5, go home to eat? This man is blind to what the Bible is teaching because he has one verse he's going to take and flag all the way through the New Testament and dare to even condemn Jesus Christ and the apostles in Acts 2 and the apostle Paul in Acts 20 because he says, our brother Donahue says, that's an absolute law. And I've shown you, give me chart number 11 please. I've shown you four cases in the New Testament, especially the 1 Corinthians book, where the Apostle Paul says, no, not to eat, I'll never eat meat, and that's not just meat, that's the word food, do not eat it, and then he says, if one is hungry, let him eat at home. In all four cases, Paul conditions the idea of not eating with something that was a condition that needed correction. And then this brother comes along and takes one of those verses and acts as if that's an ironclad rule. You cannot eat a meal when people come together to worship God. Well, we don't eat that meal in that assembly we worship in God, but we continue our fellowship like Paul said, like Jesus did, like the early church established. There's not a thing wrong with it as far as the Bible is concerned. Notice further. Please give me chart number 8. In Acts 20, verses 7 through 11, the Apostle Paul came together with the disciples to break bread. He continued the speech till midnight. Here's where Eutychus goes down and taken up dead, and when he falls out, and then Paul says he's alive, raises him back to life. Verse 11, when he had come up and had broken bread, that's not the same phrase that occurs up here. When he had broken bread, then it says he talked a long while. Philippians 3:17. Paul says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. That word pattern is the word tupos, which literally means our example. It is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And my question is, do you follow apostolic example? If Paul says that's what he did, if that's what Paul did, if Paul feels comfortable in the confines of doing this under the Lord's will, then that's exactly what we ought to be doing. Is it bound? Do we have to have the meal? No. But we certainly can have that fellowship together where we meet for the Lord's Supper. Now, I don't see anything at all wrong with somebody wanting another building, a separate building, or a different room. I see nothing at all wrong with the choices brethren may make in order to have that meal. But I do see everything wrong with a brother taking one verse, misrepresenting that verse, and then absolutely going through every practice of the New Testament church and trying to make his misinterpretation the law that everyone must follow. By the way, everything he says about going home to eat means you have to go home to drink, because Paul said in that same verse, you ought to have houses to eat and drink in. That means if the building cannot have anybody drink in it, that means if a preacher's there, of course that doesn't apply to a person not a full-time preacher, but if a preacher's there in the building, then he gets thirsty, he has to go outside the building to get him a drink. And that means the water fountains ought to be put outside the building. And that would mean, if he is true in what he's teaching, that would mean that nobody could bring anything into the building where we have the assembly to worship God. That means babies cannot have their baby bottles. That means diabetics cannot bring their medicine. That means that people who have special needs have to leave that outside the building, because he has a law that says it cannot be done. And Paul said, eat and drink. Don't let him talk about meals at home, because you couldn't have any drink up here either. If what Brother Donahue is contending is true, and it isn't, I would mention to you that there are three kinds of senses. There's revealed sense, and that's where we base what we say on the Word of God. There is common sense, and that's where a person just simply looks at the commonality of the way people reason about things. And then there's nonsense. Brother Donahue does not have revealed sense to defend what he say. And he certainly is not using common sense, because he won't put that doctrine he teaches on a sign out in front of a church building. And so it becomes nonsense. It is not what the Bible teaches. Please give me chart number 19. I don't mind putting the doctrine that I'm defending on the board out front. 1 John 3 verse 8, let's love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. James 2:8, you shall love your neighbors yourself. I got no problem putting that out there. And anybody that needs to come by and has a need, I'm not just going to say be warmed and filled. That's faith without works. That's love without commitment. I certainly would try to help. What's wrong with having the food in the building, and if somebody is hungry enough and a family is burnt out, or there's a tornado down the street, letting people come into the building and at least get a hot meal? Why leave that up to the world to do? The Lord has told us we can use our judgment in this area, and fellowship is a part of what God wants us to be about. And thus, fellowship, when Paul had the brethren withdraw from a man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, he was saying withdraw that fellowship that goes along with a meal. Eating a meal together is fellowship. It is not the fellowship of offering our sacrifices to God, but it is the fellowship of those who are bought by the blood of Christ. And we are following in the footsteps of Jesus. We're following an example that was set on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. We are doing what the Apostle Paul saw no problem doing in Acts chapter 20. I believe Brother Donahue needs to go back and study this again and not keep using the same charts and the same speech.